Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes, Tuesday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. It is mandatory minicamp in the NFL and 24 of the 32 ball clubs. And we have news you could use and how it's going to impact overs and unders and betting and spreads and week one. And I can't wait for it. We'll get into everything going on in Cincinnati. We will get into everything going on in Pittsburgh. We will get into everything going on with Jalen Ramsey. We have a lot to do in the National Football League and how you should look at some of the news of the day and how it should impact your sports wagering. Greg Peterson's with us. We got a Tuesday betting preview. Great night of baseball last night. Had one of the best catches you'll ever see. Dodgers, Padres, that was off the charts. Amazing. We have a ton to do on the Knicks. Some new odds are out in terms of the betting favorites for their next head coach. We're looking forward to getting into that. Obviously, we're going to start today's show with the Stanley Cup Final. And listen, this was a total disaster for the Oilers. Total disaster if you happen to bet on the Edmonton Oilers. And for those not watching on YouTube or the VSiN Watch app, I have my hand raised. And this was a complete and utter fiasco. The Oilers were embarrassing. The Oilers were clueless, rudderless. They spiraled out of control. They became unglued, often penalized. They were not disciplined. They had 15 minors last night, and Coach Knobloch was pissed after that first period in the interview he did with TNT. And they had 21 overall penalties for 85 penalty minutes. They were mocking mascots. They were squirting water bottles. They were fighting haphazardly. They were turning it over left and right. They didn't play a lick of defense in any way, shape, or form. And the Panthers mauled them, absolutely destroyed them. It's the 11th time this postseason the Panthers scored at least 5 goals in a game. And obviously Florida is a machine. And how about Brad Marchand? He scored in the first minute of the game. I mean, absolutely incredible. Marchand becomes the oldest player to score in each of the first 3 games of a Stanley Cup final. Absolutely sensational. You had Sam Bennett scoring last night, which, in a related story, sky is blue. He's got 14 goals this postseason. I mean, absolutely incredible what he's been able to do. Verhaeghe had a goal. Reinhardt had a goal. It was just absolutely incredible from a Panthers offensive perspective. I always defend, as you know, that South Florida hockey fan. The joint was jumping. Home ice was legit. Stu Skinner got chased. Wasn't his fault. I think the big takeaway, the sheer power, talent, passion, togetherness, teamwork, toughness from the Florida Panthers and lack thereof for the Oilers. I mean, just, and I love the Oilers, and I'm not backing down on my prediction of Oilers winning the Stanley Cup. And if they don't, it's going to be a fiasco. But last night was pathetic. And I do think Connor McDavid had the right approach after the game, just in terms of keeping that laser focus and obviously what went wrong and what needs to change. And all right, it's one game and now move it forward. Nobody played well. McDavid didn't play well. Draisaitl didn't play well. Defense didn't play well. Now, in terms of the series, listen, am I still picking the Oilers? I am. Do I still believe the Oilers can win it in 6 and win every game the rest of the way? I do. Do I think that there's probably more of a realistic chance that Edmonton now wins in 7? Absolutely. I do know we have a lot of puckheads who are trying to tell me this series is over. Listen, we saw what happened last year. It was 3-0, then it was 3-3, then there was a game 7 and Florida won. So I think that taking too much from game to game in this series is just not appropriate. What I do think is appropriate, though, is to destroy the Edmonton Oilers. And it is interesting when you look at the game 4 matchup. And I do dislike the fact in general for buzz for the NHL, the fact that you're still in the same city in South Florida and you have to wait 3 days. I know they're looking at the NBA schedule and a related story. I don't care. You can't be in the same city and go from Monday to Thursday and no game on a Tuesday or Wednesday. That makes no sense. I can appreciate the 2 idle days when there's travel involved. But come on, that's crazy. Look, am I ready to jump on Edmonton and a bounce back on the money line of plus 124? Obviously, of course I am. Of course I am. Let's not make it sound like the Oilers have had a bad Stanley Cup final. You can make the case that they could have and should have won game number two. I thought when Perry scored 17, 18 seconds left in the third period that they would find a way to ultimately win in overtime. The longer that thing went, the worse and worse it felt. Marchand with the game two game-winning goal on that power play and the second overtime, and that ultimately was huge for Florida. And they captured that momentum and pounced. So I give Florida a ton of credit. I also think you destroy Edmonton. Make no mistake, I'm not backing off my Oilers prediction, but I thought Edmonton was hot garbage last night. I mean, you got to remember, it was instantly 2-0. Then they tied at the beginning of the second period to make it 2-1, and then bam, Florida just exploded and Edmonton imploded, and it was off to the races, equaling that 6-1 final score. Bob was incredible. I thought Bobrovsky, they were chanting his name in Florida last night. 32 saves. He was sensational. Phenomenal job by the Florida Panthers, showing once again why they have the hearts of a champion. How about some NFL news today? And Aaron Rodgers officially introduced in Pittsburgh. And Aaron Rodgers with his first day as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. First day to be a member of the Steel City. First day of mandatory minicamp. And listen, it's a one-year deal. $13 million in terms of the contract. $10 million guaranteed. Max value of $19.5 million. $5.85 million worth of playing time and team incentive performances, which includes, by the way, $500,000 if they make the playoffs, $600,000 if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers wins a game in the first round of the playoffs or if Pittsburgh gets a first round bye, $750,000 if they win in the division round, $1 million if they win on Championship Sunday, $1.5 million if they win the Super Bowl, $1.5 million if Rodgers wins the MVP. So basically, they're trying to incentivize winning. I think Rodgers was phenomenal at the end of last year. We've been over that a million times here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein. And I'll tell you, there are a couple of Aaron Rodgers props that I want to alert you to because I think they are juicy. Passing yards over at minus 105 of 3,300.5. I think Rodgers is going to be closer to 35 to 4,000 passing yards. So that's what I'm looking at for Aaron Rodgers for this year. Remember, his numbers down the stretch, final six games of the season, five great games, one bad one, really looked great the further he was removed from the Achilles surgery and everything that derailed his first season, one of two seasons that he had in New York with the Jets. I think that Rodgers and DK Metcalf are going to sizzle. I think that the over on passing touchdowns, I mean, 23.5, it's a low number. That's a ridiculously low number. I anticipate you're going to see Rodgers throw for at least 26. I would not be surprised if he was closer to 30. I think that's who he is. That's what he does. I think that the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour is going to be real and spectacular. The Aaron Rodgers take that tour. He's got the Jets week one. He's got the Packers in the middle of the season. He's got the Vikings who didn't sign him. He's got the Bears who he always says, I own you and I still own you. So I think when you check that Steelers schedule, we are talking about a Pittsburgh Steelers team that still has issues and deficiencies and questions elsewhere, but I circle week one, I circle week four, I circle week number eight, and I think that the week 12 game in Chicago, those are the four from an Aaron Rodgers screw you tour. Those are the four that you look at and say, okay, I think Aaron Rodgers absolutely going to put up monster numbers, absolutely going to be able to dominate and rock and roll. Love him, loathe him. League's always more interesting and better with him in it. I think this is ridiculously cool when you look at Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he's now playing for one of the most historic franchises in all of the NFL. Now, with that said, and we're going to get into a lot of contractual situations today and how it equals sports betting, TJ Watt is not attending the mandatory minicamp for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is a deal. I don't like to go crazy here ever and hot take it when it comes to May and June and players reporting. I know it's mandatory. I don't really care. You know, there are opportunities for players to swing the hammer, and it's not too much of a distraction. You know, I'm cool with this from a TJ Watt perspective. It is noteworthy, though, that Watt chose to do it because he knows he has the hammer. He knows Pittsburgh is going to pay him 40, 45, 50 mil. He knows that he is the most popular player in all of Pittsburgh. He knows that he's one of the handful of best defensive players on the planet. He knows this is Aaron Rodgers' report day. So all eyes are on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Rodgers talks to the press, and Tomlin talks to the press, and now TJ Watt's money and his happiness is officially a topic for conversation, which means well played here by TJ Watt. He knows exactly what he's doing. What do I think the Steelers should do? I think they should pay him. I think they should say, TJ, what do you need? And then give him that kind of contract. It's as simple as that. TJ Watt, in any given year, is a front runner, if not the front runner, a front runner, if not the betting favorite, when it comes to the defensive player of the year. Like, this news, if anything, to me, I wouldn't say, okay, I can't bet on TJ Watt. I would rush to bet on TJ Watt for the defensive player of the year. I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to come out like a house on fire. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think he knows what I know, what you know. He's got the hammer. He's going to swing it. I think this ends with a monster contract extension for TJ Watt, and he has a defensive player of the year caliber season.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You want to bet smarter this football season? Of course you do. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199. Plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, who wrote it wearing his Apple Bottom jeans. True story. Ask him. No-nonsense guide to reading the markets, spotting the sharp action, making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from the hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide. Drops July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. It's Tuesday. We got a lot to talk out. Talking out Tuesday. Topic number one. Will the Cincinnati Bengals extend Trey Hendrickson? Well, it's the Bengals. Anything's possible. Elephants, clowns, seals with balls on their nose. Who the hell knows? It's always a bit of a circus. In fact, you take a look at what is going on with the Cincinnati Bengals from the theater of the absolute absurd, and you actually have a situation where their first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, who they drafted, who's a defensive end who gets to the quarterback, in a lot of people's mind, as insurance for Trey Hendrickson, he's not practicing because of a clause that they're trying to get in his contract. So this is a related story answer here to the way our producer Michael Cohen phrased the question. Will the Bengals extend Trey Hendrickson? In a lot of ways, hell if anyone knows, it's the Bengals. You could really insert any answer here. But I'm really ridiculously pro-player when it comes to contracts and getting paid, because if you get hurt or if you don't play well, it's a violent sport. There's a shelf life. You know, your contracts are terminated and the funny money you never see, right? You get your signing bonus and that's about it. So nothing's guaranteed. But if I'm Cincinnati, if I'm Trey Hendrickson, I need to come to a deal here. First of all, I got to straighten out the Shamar Stewart situation. Get that clause out of the contract. Make sure that the first-round draft pick is on the field. You could have drafted a lot of guys, drafted someone with a high motor who didn't really produce on the collegiate level. You have a new defensive coordinator now, Golden, get that done. And I think that relates here. Because if I'm the Bengals and if I'm Troy Hendrickson's agent, I want this thing done by the middle of July. Every situation is different, right? Some situations, okay, if there's a holdout, beginning a training camp, get it done by August 1st. You know, you then start to worry about a player if he holds out too long in August and how that impacts his health and is he more vulnerable and susceptible to injury. See, here's the thing when it comes to Hendrickson, and this is where his agent, I think, takes a hit. Troy Hendrickson is amazing. Sacked the quarterback 17 and a half times last year, 17 and a half times the year before. Troy Hendrickson did not come into this league with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was a Saint, then he went to Cincinnati. Troy Hendrickson is not a top two pass rusher in his own division. Myles Garrett, TJ Watt. As great as Hendrickson is, I wonder aloud what the real market is for him. You know, we could talk Philly, we could talk Detroit, we could talk Atlanta. We could talk about any other team, Washington, you want to mention for Troy Hendrickson. If I'm advising Troy Hendrickson, what I'm telling my agent, you have Joe Burrow, you have Ja'Marr Chase, you have T. Higgins, you have a golden opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. They're not going to trade you. They're going to make you play football this year. I would tell my agent, long-term deal, the most money possible. Don't show up. Don't practice. Don't be a mandatory this, mandatory that. July 15th, most money on the table. Get exact every single penny I can. Troy Hendrickson's not a spring chicken either. He's not getting any younger anytime soon. He's a little bit longer in the tooth, relatively speaking. That's what I would do if I'm Troy Hendrickson. It's easy and obvious. That's why I mentioned Shamar Stewart. It's absurd what the Bengals are doing. Easy and obvious always to blame the Cincinnati Bengals. On this one, I think Hendrickson and his agent need to see the forest through the trees a little bit. I don't think that's a crazy take in any way, shape, or form. Let's get into the Boston Red Sox, who finally called up Roman Anthony, the best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Can Roman Anthony save the Boston Red Sox? Well, no. But this is a huge deal. And last night, he did not get a hit. He went 0 for 4. He had a strikeout. They pinch hit for him late. Now, it is interesting, the odds for Anthony, 18 to 1 for the AL Rookie of the Year. I think over the next couple of weeks, he's going to catch fire. Like, I really think Roman Anthony is under the can't-miss umbrella. And I think that the Red Sox front office, I think that Craig Breslow, who I like a lot, I like him professionally and personally, Alex Cora, who's phenomenal, John Henry, who's completely clueless, and that whole Mookie Betts thing was a disaster. Honestly, I think Roman Anthony, the fact that he was in the minors for as long as he was, a terrible job by Boston. Big market club. I'm not worried about service time or arbitration or this or that. I think that it's absolutely terrible when you take a look at how they have handled the Roman Anthony situation. And it's not like they're a lock to make the playoffs or running away with anything or playing well. In fact, today, and in the help of answering the question on this Talk It Out Tuesday, look at the odds for the American League pennant. Right? Look at all of these teams that are ahead here of the Boston Red Sox. Now, I still think that in the far column, Royals at 20 to 1, Red Sox 25 to 1, Rangers 28 to 1. I still think in the weak American League, their best baseball, all three of those teams ahead of them. I firmly believe that. But I think that Boston is going to struggle and scuffle. They still need some major help on the big league roster. Still need the Devers thing completely straightened out. Still need some help in the rotation. It's a huge deal that they finally did the right thing and brought up Roman Anthony. Monster deal by Boston. Thrilled we get to watch them. Save the Red Sox. I can't say that. Can the Braves make a run? Finally, the June swoon is over. First dub in my favorite month on the calendar, the month of June. And Chris Sale was able to act like an ace, stop the bleeding. He was able to shut down a piping hot Milwaukee team. Seven innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. He was awesome. This team is still 9 games under .500. They are still trailing everyone big time by double digits of the Mets in the National League East. You look at the Braves, they are +310 as we speak to make the postseason, which is crazy considering where the Braves were before the season started. I honestly, at this stage, I can't even tell you, as someone who has believed in Atlanta for the vast majority of the year, and I've been wrong, I can't even tell you to sprinkle anything on the Braves. I mean, look at the record here, right? And I talk about the gap between the Mets and Atlanta. I mean, the Braves trail Washington. Washington. That's crazy. They're 14 games behind the Mets when you look at the wins. You take a look at the losses. They're 9 games in the loss column behind Philadelphia, and they're trailing the Washington Nationals. And they have shown no signs, even with Acuna Jr. going yard last night. Very difficult to imagine here that all of a sudden it's going to turn around for the Atlanta Braves. Better coaching job for Jason Kidd, the Mavericks or the Knicks? Listen, I think that coaching Cooper Flagg is obviously phenomenal. And if I'm Jason Kidd, that would interest me greatly. The problem is, let's say the Mavericks, even if they make the playoffs, they're the 7 seed and they make the playoffs, they get bounced in the first round. Jason Kidd will get fired next year at this time. And that's not good. And if I'm Jason Kidd, I would rather coach the Knicks than the Mavericks. We could debate which coaching job is better in general, but for Kidd, who has a great relationship with Jalen Brunson, coached him obviously in Dallas, and I think that when you look at the situation, lack of trust with Dallas and Nico Harrison and ownership after they made the worst transaction in sports history, worst trade by shipping Luka Doncic away, Jason Kidd was a runner-up for Leon Rose and Jim Dolan when they hired Tom Thibodeau. Leon Rose loves him. Kidd played with the Knicks, played with the Nets, knows the area well, and take a look at the odds to win a championship as is for next year. The Knicks right now are +800. This is even before you get into Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and both those guys love Jason Kidd. So they're tied for the second best odds to win a title next year. So yes, absolutely, I would be interested in coaching the Knicks. I think it's a better situation for Kidd than coaching Dallas. Final thing to talk out on this Tuesday, can the Pacers take game 3? Take a look at the betting board for game number 3 in the NBA Finals. Listen, they're playing at home. The crowd's going to be into it. First game in Indiana for the NBA Finals in 25 years. But boy, OKC's defense. Indiana hasn't had a 20-point individual score the first 2 games. Thunder are absolutely playing out of their minds. SGA, obviously MVP level. I can't take the Pacers to win game number 3.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Winners Circa Proxy giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. And get this, you're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit the winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. My guy, the great Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, Coast to Coast Hoops Podcast, and Saturday's Cashing Out right here on VSiN. Greg, how are ya?
Adam, I am doing great. We are now in the meat of the baseball season and wouldn't want it any other way because we've got lots of interesting storylines all across this great league.
Oh, without question. The baseball has been amazing. You can color me absolutely obsessed. And I want to start with the Dodgers and the Padres. I mean, you want to talk about line movement in game last night. First of all, Dodgers Padres never disappoints. And Dodgers Padres specifically in San Diego never disappoints. It's the little brother, big brother. The games are always unbelievable. The crowd's into it. You had all the right pieces and players in the mix. Machado, Ohtani, Freeman, all part of the storyline last night. I can't wait for tonight's game. Take us through what you saw last night and what you're looking for from a betting perspective tonight with Dylan Cease on the bump for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, you won a wild game yesterday. You get both teams getting to 6 runs in the first 5 innings. Game completely dies. The bullpen holds it down for 4 innings on each side. And then you have in the 10th inning, a little bit of explosion from the Dodgers to be able to put across a couple runs to be able to get the job done. And now that leads into tonight with a guy in Dylan Cease said, I've been saying this for a while, and I'm going to continue to say it. He's doing for some positivity north of a 4.5 ERA, but that fielding independent is more than a point lower. He's still getting his 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's not walking a lot of guys, only giving up about a home run per 9 innings. And right now for the Dodgers, it's still to be announced. It looks like it's going to be just some sort of a full-fledged bullpen game. You're probably going to see some Jose Ureña, which when you see Jose Ureña out there, you don't feel too great about that. Ben Kasparis has been a relatively good long guy for the LA Dodgers. Wouldn't doubt it if he sees a few innings as well. You're going to get a little bit of mixing and matching. And for the Dodgers, it's been about a league average bullpen this year. They are getting reinforcements with Kurt Yates coming off the injured list. You also have Michael Kopech coming off the injured list. So that helps out a little bit in this game. But I do think that Dylan Cease finds it in this one. I do think that the Padres, who have been about league average in terms of their lineup this year, they're able to find it a little bit more just because I do think that the Dodgers get worn down in this game. So I'd be willing to lay closer like a minus 130, minus 135 on this Padres money line. And I do like that 8 over.
I love that perspective, and I can't wait for this game. Padres, Dodgers get together. I'm always interested. Yankees, Royals always interest me. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. I love watching the Royals play. I pick both teams to make the playoffs before the season. Heck, I go back to George Brett and Goose Gossage and Pine Tar. It's always fun. Now, obviously, you look at the pitching matchup in the Yankees with Max Fried on the bump. They are a heavy favorite tonight. So I'm curious, Greg, with that as a backdrop, what plays do you have for tonight with the Yankees in Kansas City?
Yeah, it's really hard to fade Max Fried right now. He has been incredible. .178 ERA. Yeah, he's not necessarily getting like a billion strikeouts or anything like that. More around 8.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's just doing a good job inducing soft contact, and he's not hurting himself. 2 walks per 9 innings, 0.6 home runs per 9 innings, but that said, they're making me the godfather offer that I can't refuse on the Royals. North of plus 160 on them at home. I'm going to be willing to take that because this Noah Cameron kid who is starting for the Royals, is he going to regress a little bit? Yes, because it's hard to maintain a sub-125 ERA. Guy has been absolutely amazing. 0 or 1 runs allowed in each out of his first 5 starts. It's not like he's some sort of a fireball guy. Like, typically when you see one of these hot rod guys coming up from the minor league level, it's like a Spencer Strider 2.0 where you're getting a bunch of strikeouts. No, he's only getting like 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's inducing soft contact. He's doing a nice job making sure that he's not walking a lot of guys. And a big reason why I do like this under of 8.5 Royals. 3.1 runs per game at home this year. That is actually dead last in the big leagues. So I anticipate a very low scoring game. I think that Fried delivers. I think that Cameron delivers. And I do think that with this plus number getting up so high, it's just calling my name with regards to the Royals. I'm going to be willing to trust in them on the money line to go along with that under.
I like it. I think it's a good flyer. And I love the under. I mean, that Royals offense. And again, I like him. I do think there's another level to their offense, but it's been downright deplorable. And you gave the nugget. I mean, as bad as it gets in baseball, specifically at home. Pirates, Marlins. Dare I say once again, I kind of really like the Pirates tonight.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's very strange to say, but the Pirates offense is honestly starting to get going a little bit. They had that stretch where I believe it was 26 straight games where they scored 4 runs or fewer. It's not like they've been amazing, but Andrew McCutchen's a veteran guy. He moves the line. He gives you a little bit of power. O'Neill Cruz is a guy with some upside as well, and more or less is the fate of Sandy Alcantara. Like, I don't know what happened with Sandy Alcantara. I don't know if he was abducted, replaced by an imposter that they're trying to sell to us as Sandy Alcantara. But this is not the guy that won the Cy Young a few years ago. More than 4 walks per 9 innings. And that's what made him so good. When Sandy Alcantara was in peak form 3 to 4 years ago, the command was good. And because he wasn't walking a lot of guys, he was able to go deep into starts. That was able to help protect you from a Miami Marlins bullpen that the last few years has not been that great. Once again, not good. Outside the top 20 in terms of ERA. They had to use up a lot of pieces yesterday with Eury Pérez only going three innings for the Pirates. It's getting up there a little bit more because this opening money line was more around about minus 120, minus 125, but even up to like the minus 150, I'd be willing to lay, especially with Mitch Keller throughout his career, giving up 0.8 home runs per nine innings at home. And additionally, his ERA is a full point lower at home rather than on the road. So I'm in on the Pirates on the money line. Again, starting to get up there, but I still think that there's a bit of value.
Reds Guardians, the Terry Francona series. Kind of like the Reds tonight, Greg?
Yeah, this is a relatively pick'em game, but I just think that Andrew Abbott is a better pitcher here. Slade Cissoni has just given up too much of the deep ball. Six home runs in his first four starts, and his strikeout numbers are up, but so are his walks numbers, and Andrew Abbott has been absolutely insane for the Reds. He is posting up a sub-235 ERA, actually has a lower ERA on the road rather than at home. Yeah, he does give up a few more walks than what you'd like, but I mean, the guy is going out there getting 10.5 strikeouts per nine innings. And for the Reds, the bullpen, yeah, it could be a little bit suspect, but we have seen with the Cleveland Guardians, their bullpen has been all over the place this year as well. After they were number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA last year, they're right around about league average this year, and it's a very top-heavy lineup. You've got these guys like Bo Naylor, John Kenzie, Noel and company at the bottom of the lineup. They're in below the Mendoza line of 200 for the Guardians. So if you don't have Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez coming through for you, that bottom lineup, you're able to cruise through there. And for the Reds, I do feel like they're finding another, I guess you call it, gear with regards to their offense as well. Ellie De La Cruz has obviously been rock solid all season long, but these guys like TJ Friedl, Gavin Lux, just being able to find a way on base is something that I do like. Now, with regards to 8.5, it's a very interesting total because I do think that Andrew Abbott is doing for a little bit of regression, but still willing to side with the under, and I'm still going to be willing to go with the Reds on the money line.
Nationals at the Mets. Mets have been pitching incredibly well. Mets are winning at a rapid rate. I've been dead wrong, Greg, on the Mets so far, beginning of this season. Washington has been an interesting team this year. Fascinated to get your take on what you're playing tonight.
I was able to grab the Nationals when they were closer to a plus 140 on the money line, and since that has come down to a lot of more around about 130 across the board, I would say that if you're looking to play that money line, shop around, try to see if you can get a little bit more than a plus 130 and see if this goes up before the game. But I do like this total over. Even though Mackenzie Gore has been a strikeout artist, north of 12.5 strikeouts per nine innings, leads the National League in strikeouts per nine, I think that the Nationals actually get to Griffin Canning, who's been giving up four walks per nine innings, has been good at inducing soft contact, but all of a sudden, this Washington team is putting together some offense. They have been a top eight team since the beginning of the month of May in terms of runs per game. James Wood has given you 16 home runs this year. CJ Abrams, nice power. He's moving the line as well. Alex Call is a very underrated guy that is finding a way to be able to get on base. He's got a pair of home runs over the last 14 days. I do like what I'm seeing there. And additionally, even if the Washington Nationals don't generate a lot of offense, this bullpen dead last in the National League in terms of ERA, so they'll give up some runs as well. So looking at that 7.5 over.
Real quick, any plays tonight with the Rays and the Red Sox?
I do like the over in this spot with the Red Sox and the Rays. They had to use so many bullpen pieces in that extra inning game yesterday. And Lucas Giolito has not been great, but I'm going to be willing to as well. If you can find like a more of a minus 110 or so on the Red Sox, I'd be willing to back them with Lucas Giolito doing first positivity and Ryan Pepiot, his fielding depend more than a point higher than his ERA. So I think that he regresses.
Greg, you're the best. Host, of course, Greg Peterson of the Baseball Betting Show. Always listen to him every Saturday nights on Cashing Out here on VSiN. Greg, keep up the unbelievable work. Can't wait for all the baseball on the slate tonight, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Always appreciate it, Adam. Thank you so much.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup are here. ProfitX offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX, peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. First of its kind in the United States, you'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. with the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Simple as that. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And it's official. Nick Chubb has signed with the Houston Texans. And listen, the market didn't move on this transaction. And I really hope that I'm wrong here, but Nick Chubb is going to have to prove something to me. And I don't say that with any joy or jubilation in my voice. You know, Myles Garrett talked to the press today at Cleveland minicamp, and he got emotional talking to the gathered news media about who Nick Chubb is and what he represents and what he brings to the table. And, you know, he just hasn't been the same player since a devastating injury on that Monday night game, week number two of the 2023 season. So I hope it sticks. I hope it works. You look at the schedule for Houston to start the season. Is he going to be a factor in a monster showdown against L.A.? Is he going to be a monster factor in a huge game, Monday Night Football, against a really good Tampa Bay Buccaneers team? How about divisional road matchups against Jacksonville and the Tennessee Titans? I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet when it comes to Nick Chubb. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he's a touchdown machine. I hope we're talking about him as a fantasy player for a season long or daily fantasy. I can't and I won't. Nick Chubb's going to have to show that he's healthy and ready to perform at that Nick Chubb level before I do it or overdo it on any kind of take here with Nick Chubb. Not to mention the fact Joe Mixon is a truly strong three-down running back for the Houston Texans. So there's that. Terry McLaurin did not show up to Washington Commanders minicamp, which is mandatory, and kind of get the sense that they need to extend him in Washington. And Terry McLaurin, according to our good friend Diana Rossini over at The Athletic, Terry McLaurin is frustrated with the pace and the depth and the detail and the contract negotiations, not attending minicamp, skipped OTAs and minicamp 3 years ago before he inked his last extension. So now it's go time. And remember this about McLaurin. He's a rock star. And I'm not just throwing that word around, right? Terry McLaurin was a great player. Obviously, for the vast majority of his career, playing with as bad as it gets in terms of a quarterback situation. Last year, got Jaden Daniels as his quarterback, and bam, took off. I'm not just a host with unbelievable hair. I'm also a voter when it comes to the first and second team All-Pro in the NFL. And Terry McLaurin was on my list and got my vote for second team All-Pro. You vote for three for the first team and three for the second team. So I love McLaurin. I think he's absolutely terrific. I will say, from a betting perspective, guys, put the schedule up if you can for Washington. That week one game against the Giants, I think Washington's vulnerable in general. Everyone's crowning Washington. They make the Tunsil deal. They make the Debo deal. They're at home. Vibes are great. I just think people are sleeping on the Giants early on, and they've got a murderer's row on the schedule. I can tell you, when you look at the point spread on that one, I kind of want to grab the points with the Giants. I wouldn't even be surprised if we get closer to the game, especially if McLaurin holds out in July and August, and you start wondering about what he's going to look like for week number one. Wouldn't be surprised if I sprinkled a little bit on a heavy dog in the New York Football Giants on the money line. Just saying. This is one to monitor. McLaurin is a pro's pro, epitome of class. Have to take care of him. Have to make him happy. He's that great on and off the field. Have to make sure you take care of your own, the guys who have been there through the insanity. And it's been insanity in Washington. So this is obviously a situation to monitor. Kirk Cousins showed up for the old mandatory minicamp, and this is not a surprise. Kirko said he was going to be there. Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, was on my SiriusXM radio show after the draft and said he expected Cousins to be there. It's kind of difficult finding a potential trade partner for Kirk Cousins and Atlanta right now. It would have been Pittsburgh if they didn't sign Aaron Rodgers, but they did. And, you know, unless it's Cleveland and they think that, you know, they Kirk Cousins can start for them, but I don't see that happening at this stage. And Cousins and Kevin Stefanski made sweet, beautiful music together in Minnesota. Unless it is Minnesota and they want Kirk Cousins to be a backup to J.J. McCarthy, which actually makes some sense, having Sam Howell a heartbeat away from being under center to me makes no sense. And I love Minnesota as a team that can win the division this year. If it wasn't for that backup quarterback position, I love J.J. McCarthy. Everyone's sleeping on him. But I just wonder aloud for the Falcons when you take a look at their schedule. And I love the over on 7.5 wins. I just want them to eliminate distraction. Now, I do recognize here that the backup quarterback position is very important in general, but specifically for Atlanta. I mean, it's Michael Penix Jr. I think Penix is going to have a monster second season, first year where he's going to be the starting quarterback entire offseason, in season for the Atlanta Falcons. But remember, they traded their first round pick for next year and the deal with the Rams. So they, if heaven forbid something happens to Michael Penix Jr., they can't just lose and go get him next year and here's a top pick. They don't have their draft pick. So just something to keep in mind here when you start talking about the importance of making sure that the Atlanta Falcons not only are great, but they can't be bad. And I would try and eliminate all possible distraction here when it comes to Kirk Cousins. The College World Series is set. VSiN is going to be in Omaha. I can't wait for it. Money Moves is going to be there. Stormy is going to be there. JVT is going to be there. File the Money is going to be there. Mitch and Paulie. Can't wait for those guys to be there. We will be live, File the Money and Money Moves in Omaha Thursday, Friday, coming up this week. Mitch and Paulie going to join our show live from Omaha. Can't wait for that on Thursday and Friday. That's going to be unbelievable. We love Mitch and Paulie, as you know. And how about this, when you take a look at the odds, which are out as we speak, for the College World Series. Boy, we are checking out the VSiN.com College World Series betting preview, and we will make our official prediction on Make It Rain with Adam Schein tomorrow. But LSU at plus 230 most certainly interests me right now. Oregon State plus 650 kind of jumps out just in terms of value. Arkansas is the favorite, and rightly so. I am really looking forward to this. And you got all the brackets that are set, double elimination. Winners will meet in that best 2 out of 3 final. I'm looking forward to it. And we will have gavel-to-gavel coverage of the College World Series here on VSiN on Thursday and Friday. That is going to be absolutely off the charts. We referenced it with Greg Peterson to hit it home. That Dodgers-Padres game in extras last night had it all. By the way, if I was a Padres fan, I would be absolutely livid and disgusted with that strike three on Manny Machado. Was not even close to being a strike. I couldn't believe that they called it. Dodgers win, which is a big deal. Dodgers obviously scuffling a little bit because they don't have any starting pitching. So when they can win a game that's a high-scoring game, especially against a great team like the Padres, obviously that is a big deal here for Los Angeles. I mean, it's going to be a bullpen game tonight. Dylan Cease is on the bump. Chances are that the Padres are going to win. The Padres are the bet tonight. But I really think that last night was a big deal with that as a backdrop here. And you can see the Padres are the favorite in Vegas tonight, as opposed to the World Series champs from last year, who I still think will win another one when everyone gets healthy later on this season. Time right now to give out our best bets, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet in VSiN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, you can deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet. Trigger the $500 trifecta. You're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through August 31st, $200 value. Just head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion, limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Terms and conditions apply. Couple of baseball plays for tonight. We'll go with the Blue Jays money line at minus 103 going up against the Cardinals, and the Tigers money line. I know they don't have the pitching matchup, but they're playing the Orioles. I'll take them at plus 109. Mitch and Paulie coming up next here on VSiN. Thanks to Sean and all the guys in the Vegas control room. Thanks to the great Michael Cohen, our incredible producer. Talk to you mañana. Make it rain. with Adam Shine.